Dungeons & Drimbus is rated R for rude language, rough violence, and raunchy humor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I do declare, here's what happened previously on Dungeons and Drimbus. Jorgen and Gary finally begin their assault on the monastery. After a sneaky entrance, using their invisibility cloaks, they begin to take out Vampire Spawn. They take a couple of sick patients to safety. However, it doesn't take long before the swarm discovers them. Discovered through echolocation and cornered into an office, they encounter Ed. Jorgen engages them in a fight as Gary runs to take out Fred in order to free the vampire spawn. Hanging on by the skin of their teeth as the vampires are freed and Ed and Fred are defeated. I do declare, Yorana is back in session.
As this was happening, you could hear the swarms from the main chamber beginning to approach their way towards the door. But as you drive that stake into his heart and he falls, you hear the beating of wings stop. Everything goes still as all the bats drop to the ground. Then, as you, Jorgen, and Silvio catch your breath, hairs on end, the bats begin to move again. They rise, blinking their eyes, and some of them begin to pop into their humanoid vampire form. They begin walking toward the entryway of the office and stare at you intently. Jorgen grips his chain whip, and as the vampires begin to look at one another, you see one of them just drops to the ground, sobbing. Pairs of them start hugging. Others run out of the door as others still just stand, staring at their grayed flesh in an almost catatonic state. They begin to chatter amongst themselves as you hear cries of, "We're free! Thank you!" And, "Where am I?" As you have freed the horde of vampire thralls.
Silvio.
Yes?
Jorgen, what's happening?
We did it. They're dead, both of them.
And then Silvio looks out the door and you hear him cry, "Domin!" He runs up and hugs a stout, blonde, bearded man.
"Domin! Oh, thank the gods you are okay!
It is very good to see you, my friend.
I'm so sorry I left you. I didn't know what to..."
"Shh! You are here now. This is what matters."
"Oh my goodness, Domin, Domin. Come, come. This is Ray."
And he introduces the stout blonde man to you and he goes,
"And this is Jorgen Rockbottom.
Pleasure to meet you. My name is Domin. I take it you are responsible for this."
"Guess so."
"Thank you for freeing us."
He looks down at Ed's body and he says,
"Our nightmare is finally over."
"It was all of these two, nobody else?"
"They have been amassing a horde for the longest time. Silvio and I, we freed ourselves here. God knows how long ago, but they captured me during Silvio's escape. But now that they are dead, We are all free, permanently.
I'm happy for you. I guess we have to get everybody home.
Wait, have any of you seen Metal? My son!
You see, Jargon has worked his way out into the hallway and he's looking through the crowds up. There are literally hundreds of people in here. Oh, like, some God. Are still bats, like, flying away. But even just the ones that have transformed back into people. Literally hundreds.
And he goes, I can't... Metal! What is he?
And he goes up to Tom and he goes, have you seen him?
The rest of the monks, where are they? I believe... Logan and Zephyrin know something is up.
Logan.
They had us preparing to launch more assaults on Longreach. Zephyrin. What do you mean, Zephyrin? The woman who has been here all this time. Ray, did you know anything about the Zephyrin?
Wait. I've heard that name before. Yeah. I don't know who that is, but I remember they warned me about a Zephyrin thistle.
Yes, that is her. That is her.
Who is she?
I don't know. I can't recall much when I'm under the thrall. But they knew you were coming. They gathered all the experts in the laboratory. I think they're getting ready to move.
So they're still here?
Yes. Upstairs.
Upstairs?
I know where the stairs are. Down the hall to the right.
I'm worried, Jargon. I don't know if we're in the best shape right now.
We have to get to Metal. Lad, he's my boy.
All right. Let's move.
Wait.
Silvio comes up to you and he says,
I don't think I can do much to help you, but I have to do something.
You see, he puts two glowing hands on you and Jargon's backs. And as they glow, he hums and he closes his eyes and he focuses. And he goes,
okay. I'm sorry, that is the best I can do.
And you heal for 9 points of damage as you see some of Jargon's wounds begin to close up. He is still looking in pretty rough shape.
But he goes, thank you a lot.
And Tommen looks at you and he says,
I don't know who is willing to follow us, but there are hundreds of us here. We can stop them.
You're right. Everybody, follow me. We're gonna finish this.
Roll a persuasion check for me.
Gary is not very persuasive. He has a 6.
You see that most of the people in here are just so disoriented. Like, literally, some of them are just staring at the wall. Others are sobbing. Some of them have already run out the doors. Like, there is a pile of people trying to escape the monastery right now. But Tommen and Silvio, you see some people recognize Silvio. They go, Silvio! You're alive! And Silvio goes, yes, you have to come with us. We have to stop the people upstairs, quickly. Tommen starts doing the same throughout the crowd as Jargon goes,
listen up, people. I know you've been through a lot, but we're not done yet. We have to stop this madness once and for all.
And you see, he kind of helps persuade some more people as a horde probably in the tens begins moving with you. As Jargon helps lead you toward the staircase down the rightmost hall. You grab your cloak on the way, ready to go, and he goes,
all right, lad, they can't stop us now. There's too many of us. Let's go.
You're right.
Let's kill that bastard once and for all.
And you rush up the stairs to the laboratory on the top floor. As you emerge, the crowd at your back, you find yourself in a space with a beautiful open floor plan. Unlike the various rooms and chambers of the monastery's ground floor, this smaller second story has various stations scattered about and organized around the single open space. There is a beautiful skylight, and you can see the stained glass dome that makes the roof of the main chamber on the first floor in the center of the floor. The sun is beginning to rise a little higher as we get into the early hours of the morning, and the vampires rush up with you. But rotating above the stained glass is a bright orb of brilliant light. Standing next to it is a halfling man with small, odd glasses perched on his nose, who turns to you and shouts,
you're not supposed to be here!
Jargon grunts,
Faramir,
as the wizard waves his staff, and the bright orb shoots out light, over-illuminating the room. The light blinds you, and you hear various little sizzles as the vampires back away, their flesh scalding. Silvio goes, The horde scurries back into the stairwell, hissing and hiding. You and Jargon stand as you take in the room. The bright light makes it hard to see, but you notice in the back corner of the room is a massive ice devil. This is an insectoid creature, over 10 feet tall. It has silvery golden bug eyes, with small antennae and large chelicerae sticking out of its mandible. Its chitinous shell glimmers a bluish white, and it stands on spiny haunches, with eerie stick-like arms coming out of its armored body. The ice devil seems to lean relaxedly in a chair, keeping a small mass of people in monk's robes shielded behind her massive body. You hear Jargon's breath catch as he whispers, "Metal." Just then, Logan walks out of a corner in his golden armor, a glistening katana in his hand. He nods at Faramir, then turns to you.
"I must say, you've exceeded my wildest expectations for you. This is between you and me, Gary. So let's not involve the others. I'd hate to see them bleed out like your little rat friend did."
And he holds out his katana.
Gary unveils the hooded part of his cloak. And he goes, "What did you just say?"
"Come closer if you want to hear."
"Fine, but you leave the rest out of it."
"Very well. You and me."
And he raises the blade into a stance up above his forehead.
Gary readies the warp pick.
Roll for initiative.
That is a 22.
Gary, you are up first. As Logan looks at you, he says,
"I can see the fear in your eyes. The rat looked at me the same way when I stuck the blade in him."
And hearing that, Gary runs up to Logan as he gets into range, his eyes glow red and flicker a flame for a second as he enters a rage. And as the flames shoot out from the rage, Gary will disregard the war pick and just start smacking Logan with the clawed hand.
Ooh, okay, first roll those 2d8.
That's 6 damage from the D8s.
The fire blasts against Logan's golden armor, leaving a singe mark in a perfect line across his chest.
Staggering him with the blast from the fire, Gary reels back his clawed hand and goes to strike at Logan.
All right, roll that.
First swing definitely misses. That's a 9.
Yeah, that definitely misses.
Second swing is a 22. That hits.
That does hit. Roll for damage.
Fuck. God, 6 damage.
You punch Logan across the face, and you see he kind of grins as you do. He then lifts up an elbow to bring across your face, but as he does, you hear the sound of the chain whip wrapping around his hand, holding the arm in place. And Jargon says, "I'm not letting you go through this alone, lad!" And he pulls it to spin Logan a little further out from you, preventing him from getting that hit in. And dealing a pretty sizable chunk of damage. However, Logan then is going to slash at you with that katana. Does a 30 hit you?
Yeah.
And then does a 22 hit you?
Yeah.
And then a crit fail. Hmm. So, he has improved critical, so he gets crits on smaller numbers.
What?
So first, he brings the katana down across your midsection, carving mostly into your shoulder and that black, hardened, glossy skin that you have that has come as a result of your transformation. You see a little bit of blood ooze out, and it actually nicks deeper into your pectoral muscles as you take 34 points of damage. Then he stabs into your gut with a second quick stab, dealing an extra 20 points of damage. And then as he goes to pull out and he goes to swipe at your neck, Jargon whips at the katana, knocking it out of his hand and sending it flying across the room. and it clatters to the ground near the Ice Devil, who just seems to be watching, smiling.
So the 54 turns to 27 damage, because I'm raging.
Gary, it becomes your turn again.
The katana gets whipped away, and just furious, Gary reaches behind his back to grab the war pick and goes to swing at Logan's head.
Okay, roll that.
Does a 14 hit him?
It does not.
And Gary misses. As a bonus action, Gary will hide.
Okay, where are you trying to hide?
Well, I have my cloak. I can just stand still.
Okay, yeah, roll a stealth check, but do it with disadvantage since you're presently engaged in direct combat.
A 17.
Wow. He rolls a crit fail, so he's not expecting. He hasn't seen the cloak. As you miss at him with the war pick, he like dodges out of the way. His head is turned away, and when he turns back, you've covered yourself with the cloak, and you are gone. Jargon is then going to go ahead and attack the shit out of Logan. He says, "Don't worry, boy. Dad is coming." As he whips the chain once, Logan darts out of the way. He then whips the chain again, dealing a pretty sizable chunk of damage. He whips Logan across the face, and you see a burn mark leave a scar trailing up towards his eye, and he says,
"You know, I've always wanted to kill you, dwarf."
As Jargon goes to wind up another hit with the chain whip, Logan stops his wrist, and then with his other hand disarms Jargon, throwing the whip across in the opposite direction of the katana. It is then Logan's turn as he is going to twist Jargon's arm out of the way, and he is going to begin punching the shit out of him. He crit fails one, so he actually hurts himself as he goes to punch, and Jargon twists in such a way that sends him flying, and Logan's head ends up headbutting right into Jargon's rock-hard ass. And he takes 5 points of bludgeoning damage. However, from this position, he is then going to try and, like, wrestle Jargon so that he has him on his shoulders and flip him over. Oh, boy. And he is going to start pummeling him. Oof. You hear a crack as Jargon's nose begins to bleed. He rears up again, punches him again. Poof! You see a splatter of blood against Jargon's white beard. He lifts both his hands up in a fist, comes to smash it down on Jargon's face. Jargon rolls out of the way as he slams into the ground, hurting himself with a critical fail. As you see, he shakes his hand out. He then goes running as Jargon and him grab each other in this kind of tussle, and then he cocks an elbow and elbows Jargon across the cheek, landing another serious blow, and it looks like Jargon takes a sizable amount of damage. As Jargon spits out a tooth, and he says, "Is that the best you got?" Gary, it is your turn.
Jargon, get back.
You got it, lad.
Suddenly a blur rushes up behind Logan, and out of the air comes a war pick swinging down onto him.
Roll that.
18 will hit.
No, it will not.
I guess this is the show, folks.
The war pick slams down on the ground as Jargon and Logan are stuck in this eternal wrestling match as it just goes from one getting over the other to then flipping them back on their back, and it is hard to get a good shot.
Will a 23 hit?
Yes.
The war pick swings, slams down, but Gary picks it back up and swings it into the back of Captain Logan. Gary's going to use his goblin trait, Fury of the Small.
Yeah, Logan is 9 feet tall, so
he's going to turn what would be 6 damage into 19 damage as he slams it into Logan's back. On that slam, Gary is enraged.
Okay, roll 2d8.
11.
You slam that war pick down onto Reclaimer Captain Logan's back. He is currently on top of Jargon, and so he falls down onto his body. And then you rage, and you send the bodies tumbling in either direction as they both take 11 damage from that rage. You see Jargon is battered and on fire, his beard is flaming. And kind of turning black again, just from the ash and soot of the fire. But he is looking in really, really, really bad shape. As in, maybe one hit could kill him bad shape. But he then is going to get up He is going to kick Logan in the face, making Logan roll over once more. As he kicks Logan, you see Logan's nose kind of smashes. He already had like a smashed gorilla nose, but it kind of peels up to expose some of the red flesh underneath. And you notice that there is actually blood beginning to ooze out from the seams of the armor because your pick seems to have ruptured something inside with its sharp end. As at the same time, you can tell that Jargon's sutures under his skin have broken open, and he's beginning to bleed out from that terrible injury he sustained with the fight with Rengar. But he hobbles over, limping to go pick up his whip, putting some distance between him and Logan. Logan is then going to get up, go as he runs over to the katana on the opposite side of the room. As he grabs the katana, he readies up, and suddenly you hear the alarm for long reach start blaring. Logan twirls the katana, readies it above his head, and says,
"Looks like you're running out of time. Better make it count, boy."
As it becomes your turn.
After taunting Gary, you see a blur rush towards Reclaimer Captain Logan, and then you see two glowing red eyes from the blur, and once again, flames shoot out, and a war pick quickly makes its way to Logan's face.
Beautiful. Roll 2d8 and give me that war pick attack.
10 damage from rage.
You see it burns up his throat. You see glowing embers on the very ends of his fur and his wings.
Gary's actually going to try to use the war pick to sweep the leg.
Okay.
But it's a critical fail.
Ooh. You actually hit him, but you hit him on the armor as he is close the distance between you two, and he pins your war pick between his body and his arm and disarms you as he shoves you back.
And with Gary's clawed hand, he's going to try to stab in the chink of Logan's armor.
Nice. Give me that roll.
Does a 22 hit?
Yes.
That will do 9 damage.
Logan is looking really bad as you shove that elongated claw into his abdomen.
Let's see how tough you are now.
He grips onto your hand with his gorilla fist and pulls it out of his abdomen and then readies that katana with some attacks. Does a 21 hit you?
Yes.
Okay, first he slashes at your face, actually, literally swiping you from the top of your forehead down through to the other cheek, dealing 12 points of damage. Then he slashes again at your face, but you duck out of the way. And then one final slash. Oh, shit. He rolls a nat 20 as he deals 24 of damage by chopping into your shoulder. And you kind of feel the blade nestle into the joint. And then you see the katana glow, and suddenly you see a second Reclaimer Captain Logan appear behind you as the katana glows. Jargon is kind of limping. He goes, "I'm coming, lad!" And you hear Silvio goes, "Wait, Mr. Rockbottom!" And he holds his hands out, and you hear the flesh sizzle. And he goes, "Ah!" As he touches Jargon to try and heal him. Oh my god. He rolls really poorly, but still, you see a small cut on Jargon's cheek close up. With that, Jargon is going to begin to run across the room to you. It is then your turn, Gary.
Gary's going to swat the sword out of his shoulder, jump up to Captain Logan, and start jabbing his clawed fingers into Logan's neck repeatedly.
Okay, roll that.
Natural 20.
Okay, roll double damage.
And a 21 will hit.
A 21 will hit.
That is 26 damage as Gary repeatedly jabs the clawed fingers like daggers into Logan's neck. And then we'll take the hide action.
Okay, roll a stealth check for me with disadvantage.
7.
Okay, you get the feeling Reclaimer Captain Logan can see you perfectly well. As you see, you from clawing at his face, you have actually at one point snagged his eyelid and tore it open so that the flesh is just like dangling on his face. You see scratch marks all around his mouth. One of his nostrils has been torn completely open as he says,
"Stop hiding, boy. Come here."
And he is going to ready that katana. As you see, he blinks between the two versions of himself. One of them disappears, and then he suddenly appears behind him. And he has advantage on these attacks. 24 hits you?
Yes.
What about a 22?
Yes.
What about a 21?
Yes.
Okay. He appears behind you, and just before you can even process what's happening, you just hear a couple of quick slices all along your back as you take 44 points of slashing damage. How are you looking, Gary?
Not good.
Okay. As that is happening, you hear Reclaimer Captain Logan come into your... Not come into your ear. You hear Reclaimer Captain Logan lean into your ear, and he says...
And what do you think the outcome of this is going to be? Think your family will be safe? You never had a chance to begin with. After I'm done with you, I'm coming for that little goblin lady of yours, and that obnoxious brat. We'll throw him with the others, so that every day they're reminded of...
Oh my god, terror. I fucking slap him as he takes forever to talk. Jesus Christ.
As he's talking, you actually hear him go,
about terribly...
As the chain whip wraps around his neck and Jorgen yanks him off of you and he goes, just shut the fuck up. You all love monologuing so much. As he's whipping him with the fire whip. And Reclaimer Captain Logan is looking fucked up as he takes that metal tip to his face over and over and over again. Gary, it is then your turn as Logan is now on the floor, bleeding. Jorgen is like, you blow on him and he will die. And I'm guessing so are you.
And how does Logan look?
Logan is looking just barely better than Jorgen. As his face has been torn up, beat up, he is burnt. You see his golden armor now looks like bronze as blood continues to ooze over it.
Okay, Gary's gonna go for the eyes with his clawed fingers.
Okay.
10 doesn't hit.
No.
24 hits.
Yes.
That is 10 damage.
Okay.
And Gary will hide.
Roll that hide for me.
That's a 6.
You brutally claw at him. He is about to start talking at you again, and you claw the tip of his tongue right out of his mouth as he goes.
I told you to stop hiding.
And he is going to charge at you with that katana. Oh, shit. He gets a nat 20.
Okay.
A 19 doesn't hit you, right?
19 does not hit me, no.
He slices into you just as you're hiding really good. You hear the katana pierce through the fabric and into your neck, and he begins to carve down. And as he does, he tears the cloak of invisibility.
Oh, come on.
You take 30 points of slashing damage.
Reclaimer Captain Logan pulls out the katana, and you just see bits of Gary's body flop onto the floor through the holes in the invisibility cloak as Gary falls unconscious, for you have got exactly the amount of health he has left.
Oof. He spits on you and is
pathetic.
Gary, please roll a death saving throw for me.
17.
Okay, that is one success. Logan twirls the katana. Silvio cries out, Ray! And he goes, oh no, hold on, lad! And Jorgen is going to whip at Logan, who is looking terribly. He misses one whip. Oh my god, he misses another. Oh wait, I'm rolling for initiative. I'm a dumbass. He doesn't miss his whip. No wait, he does. He misses his first whip. He misses another, and he lands a third for 8 points of damage, which is exactly what Reclaimer Captain Logan had left. As you hear the crack of a whip, as Logan's skull shatters open, and bits of brain begin to ooze out as his hands twitch. Gary, please give me another death saving throw.
17.
Okay, that is a second success as Yargan is gonna run over to you and try and assist you. He rolls a critical failure on his medicine check. He breaks one of your ribs as he starts giving you CPR. He says, hold on, Lot! Hold on! That's one failure. Please roll another death saving throw.
17!
Okay, and that is your third success as you stabilize. Yargan is freaking out. He's pumping on you, and he holds his medallion tight, and he goes, please, 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 come on, lad. And by some miraculous force, you see a glow as you regain 4 hit points. But you see Yargan pales a little bit, and you wake up with a cough.
Yargan. Where is he?
He's dead, Lot. Yargan kind of flops onto his stomach as he begins to bleed out.
Gary's head rolls to the side and he sees the twitching Captain Logan.
You see the twitching Captain Logan. You see Faramir still working the staff to keep the vampires at bay as they're all hissing in the stairwell. And then as you roll over with the upside down camera view, you see one huge, icy, chitinous foot pressed down by your head. And you hear a,
most impressive, Mr. Mogbile. You've come a long way to find some peace and quiet, haven't you?
We're halfway there. Waha! This is the Halftime Ad.
It's a me, Bikini. The trapeze is set. Nicky B is on his way. In the meantime, I have here one of his most beloved sponsors. Isn't that right? Only Chris. I'm doing fine, thank you. How's the wife? Wonderful. Today is a lucky day. Today, we do something different. Today, we make the badvertisement. Nobody care for your pristine, aesthetic, high-quality dice sets. Today is a time for a change. No more finding the perfect dice you were looking for at onlycrits.com using the stinky code DREAMBIS to get a 10% off of your favorite dice sets. Ladies and gentlemen, guys and girls, homo and hetero sapiens, let me introduce you to our new and improved sponsor, Only Shit! Only Sheets is a proud sponsor of this stupid podcast, Dungeons and Dreambers. Only Sheets hates you, and with every order, instead of your favorite dicey dice, you get Only a Sheet. So, no thank you to our crappy sponsor. And especially no thank you to these chapped-lipped patrons. Oh no, don't lick your lips now. You look like a lizard. Queso Loco, Jerry Benatatos, Victoria Madrid, Greta and the Beignet, Alex Gapes My Ass, Asa Andrews, Regina Russell, Salty, Sam Olivos, Jordan Cobb, The Unnamed Rogue, Johnny Gillette, Enemy Star, Doubtful Guest, Michael Richters, Davis Walden, Danny Dudrop, Myth Mouse, Cali Wolf, Brandon Emma Bishop, Bridge, Twiglis, Joanna, Wes Berger, Stanis Sitzman, Scrambles the Death Dealer, Aaron Adams, Adams, Nathan Amaznard, Rue Thanatos, Morgan Lawson, Stoner Panda, Melissa Rain. Sensational. Butts aplenty. The Lona Trumpeter. Normally me. Dana Kohlhoff. Luna. The State of Alaska. Faust the Heavenly Demonica Monster. Moshe Coffee. Official Anarchy. David Carlton. And the Braxton Wendell III. No thank you for listening to this week's Halftime Bad. The show would be nothing without you, and Dungeons and Adrimbis wouldn't be able to do what they love without all your support. Have a bad day. Bad bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite, there's a hockey game that evening, and someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
And you look up to see Zephrine Thistle, the Ice Devil, staring down at you.
How do you know that?
I am part of an organization called the LLC. Certain colleagues of mine have taken a keen interest in your whereabouts. You have to know it.
The massive 10-foot-tall creature bends down to you, and you hear the creaks of her armored body.
Deep down in your soul, you know. So long as you live, we will look for you, and your family will never be safe.
What do you want?
She's stolen, Lord. Trying to...
And you see Jorgen is trying to pick himself up. He's like on his knees trying to grab the chain whip. And the Ice Devil steps on his hand.
Trying to slink her way out of it.
I have an offer for you. Instead of fighting us, join us. You are clearly a remarkable specimen.
Her head bends down in this unnatural fashion as she takes in your entire body, as you're barely even bleeding from your wounds. It is this thick black droplets coming out of all the hundreds of lacerations you've sustained today.
And your tenacity is to be admired. Come with me, and I will keep your family safe. Choose wherever you want to live. So long as you are loyal to me, anything you want is yours.
Bullshit!
You were a lawyer before, were you not?
I think you already know.
I do. Then why not become a judge? Perhaps more? A king. King Mogbile of Longreach. It has a nice ring to it, don't you think?
You're delusional if you think Ray is going to cave to a couple of empty promises.
Carrie, like, slowly looks at Jorgen and slowly looks back at the upside-down view of the queen.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do it.
She seems very pleased as you see this, like, ugly, almost smile form in her buggy face. She crawls over. You hear her haunches as she steps over to Logan's now still body. She pulls the katana out from his grip and places it in your hand on the floor, and she says,
"Kill the dwarf."
Jorgen just chuckles on the floor going...
The stained glass window? Mm-hmm. Well, it's like on the ceiling, right?
There is a huge... Like, this whole roof is glass, but then in the center of the floor, there is a stained glass circle, which is the ceiling that you saw on the first floor.
Is the queen standing on that?
No, but you are.
I am.
Ooh. You, Jorgen, and Faramir are all on this large glass circle on the floor.
Okay. So Gary will stand up slowly, like using the katana as a cane, almost to get up.
Yeah. Jorgen is looking at you, just laughing, going,
bloody idiot.
And he will make his way to Jorgen slowly with the katana.
Jorgen squints his eyes at you.
Lad.
He raises, like, the katana up with one hand.
What are you doing, lad?
Something should have done a while ago.
And then with his other hand, he fires an ice knife at the glass that Faramir is
standing.
I think a 27 will hit.
A 27 will definitely hit. As you raise the katana, your other hand shoots out an ice knife at Faramir's feet. And he goes, "What are you?" And then the ice knife explodes, shattering the glass. And you hear that.
No!
As Faramir falls down, the spell that he has been maintaining this whole time with the staff is dispelled. And Silvio's eyes light up as he goes, "No!" And all of the vampires fly into the room going, and this storm begins to encapsulate Zephrine as Zephrine begins to swipe them away. You see she casts this massive wall of ice to block more of them from getting to her. And she says,
"You have chosen poorly."
And then you hear this, like, jumping sound as you hear glass shattering behind the wall of ice that she has cast. And everything goes quiet. Jorgen gets up and goes, "I knew you wouldn't hurt me, lad. Give me your hand."
Yeah, I go for my hand to pick him up.
You guys help each other up. You look down through the glass. The glass that you were standing on very nearly shattered. One of the cracks reaches toward you. And as you look out, you see a twitching Faramir who has been impaled by the large shards of stained glass.
Yes.
Some of the vampires, you hear them chasing out through a window, it seems like, as the screeching gets further and further away. Silvio runs to you and goes, "Are you all right? Ray, are you okay?"
"Yeah, I'm in there."
Jorgen runs to the wall of ice and snow that Zephrine has cast, and he begins punching at it and breaking it down, and he goes, "Metal! Metal! Metal!" And he starts breaking it down. He says, "Here, give me a hand, please!"
Yeah, I run over, I pick up the war pick, and I start picking away at the ice.
Yeah, you pick away at it, and with ease, you break through. And eventually, you see all of the monks in robes are all still there. All still fine. And you see one, a particularly short-statured boy who has this dark black hair, but he's not a dwarf. He's a frost troll.
What?
And he comes out and he goes, "Dad!" And he gives him a hug and he goes, "Oh! Metal! Metal, I'm so glad you're okay! Dad, are you okay?"
"Oh my god, I just got it! Meryl!"
"Hello, this is the Inside Joke Investigator. Meryl's voice and appearance are a reference to the characters Daryl and Harold from Season 1, Deliverance, both frost trolls with a similar dialect and mysterious background."
"Oh my god!"
Ha 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 ha!
Oh my god. Oh, Metal, I'm so glad you're safe.
Dan, how'd you get here?
It's a long story, lad. And he spits up blood and he goes, oh god, we gotta get you patched up. Okay. Lay down, Dad. And he sees this blister on Yarrigan's neck and he goes, oh no, they did it, didn't they?
The plague, lad.
I know, Dad. I know. They unleashed the plague, not just Longreach. They sent it everywhere. We need cure, and lots of it.
And with that, Yarrigan kind of leans back as he goes, oh,
Ray, this is my son, Merrill.
Oh, hi there. Pleasure to meet you.
He holds out a hand.
Gary weakly holds out a hand. Looks like he has arthritis.
Yeah. Pleasure to meet you.
Oh my, you're looking rough.
It's okay. It was worth it.
Thank you so much for helping us. We didn't think we'd ever get away from them.
How did this happen? I've never seen her before.
I don't know. First it was the vampires, and then this lady just perched up in here like a queen. Her and the, oh god, and that awful other terrible one, Wraith.
Oh.
The Bone Devil.
I heard that name before. Wraith. Monique warned me about her too. So, what is that LLC? Do you know what that is?
I don't know anything about that. All I know is that there's plague out there, and there's lots of it, and it's worse than the original. We gotta start pumping out cure now. We gotta get it delivered everywhere.
And at this point, Silvio puts a hand on you and he says,
Ray, I don't know if you noticed it earlier, but the alarm at Longreach was sounding.
I did.
We should get back to them as soon as we can.
My family. Yeah. Okay. Somebody should help everybody out of the monastery.
Yarrigan sits up and he goes,
I need some first aid, lad, but I can guide them to safety.
Me too. Meryl, where are we gonna get cure?
We can make it here. We just need all the resources.
Where?
I'll give you a list, don't worry.
Okay. Let's just get everybody out.
Okay, come on, everybody.
If they're attacking Longreach, it's probably too late. But we have to try.
Yarrigan tries to stand, but his wounds take him back to the floor, and he says, I'm sorry, lad.
I'll join you as quickly as I can. I don't think I can go any farther than this.
Isn't this a lab?
Yeah.
Isn't there anything we can use to help us?
I'm sorry, they've just had us manufacturing plague. We're not set up to produce anything quickly.
Damn. Okay, let's move.
And Silvio leads you along with the rest of the vampires that are still here out of the monastery. He leads you back down to the main courtyard, and he begins knocking on that swirl of ground where you guys entered. But unfortunately, no one responds.
Rico was here. He let me in when I found out what was going on. I had to come help. He let me in. He should be...
He's like banging on the floor and he goes,
he's not responding. We're going to have to go the long way around.
All right, fine.
And Silvio begins running with you to Longreach. You and a horde of vampires take to the streets as it is blizzarding outside. The sun is now pretty high above and you hear them going... and trying to cover themselves as much as they can. And you hear Silvio shouting from underneath his cloak. He says, come with us! We just need to get to the palace. There is shade there. We can get you all cloaks. As they are all doing their best, but some of the weaker vampires are kind of dropping in the snow. But you all run at full speed despite your injuries. It is only a few minutes' run from the monastery to the main entrance of Longreach. It is blizzarding harder than it has been for the last few days. However, as you arrive, you see carnage. You see walls of ice and snow put up. You see the remnants of blasts, and you see slain bodies as blood pools in the snow. It's nowhere near as terrible as your fight with Rengar, but you gather that a few people must have tried to stop them at the entrance to Longreach, and were very quickly overwhelmed. As you run past the Underhand Hold, you see Rico lying in his own blood outside of the entrance to the tunnel. As you run, you begin to hear screams. As you approach the road up to the Upper District,
You hear a scream that is very familiar to you.
Get back here! You bitch! You monster! No! Give me my baby boy back!
And over the tops of the giant's hand that stretches over long reach, you can just barely make out the tip of a bony tail as it slithers away with incredible speed, and a very distant cry that pierces your heart. Grisabeth sees you as she runs down the street, and she runs up to you, scarred and frantic with a wild look in her eyes. She grips you by your shirt and says,
Gary! They took Calvin!
This has been Your Honor. Your Honor features the vocal talents of Nicholas Benetatos as Gary Mogbaha. The rest of the world is voiced by your DM, Giancarlo Herrera. Editing was done by Hannah Schooner and Giancarlo Herrera, with sound design by Giancarlo Herrera. If you want to support the show, consider checking out the links in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/drillers. Our patrons get access to exclusive perks like our After the Show show, After the Drimbus, free exclusive merch, bonus series, and the chance to create items for the show or have NPCs named after you. Oh, and don't forget to tweet using hashtag Drimbus to be entered to win a free Dungeons & Drimbus sticker. Thank you all so much for listening, and I do declare, I'll see you all next week.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll
literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww.
New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.